Well, have you ever been accused of being a tattletale? When I was in grade school, I learned about tattletales, and you know them. Those fellow grade schoolers who were eager to impress the teacher or another adult that they tattled on their fellow students. Joey didn't do what you asked him to do. Martha called me a name. George is eating the cookies. Often the tattletales did not receive the response they expected. Nobody likes a tattletale. Today, the disciples, in their continuing streak of misunderstanding, come to Jesus like tattletales with some news. We saw someone doing something in your name, but he's not in our group, so we stopped him. Jesus responds with the equivalent of, "No one likes a tattletale." He then makes a claim that can be described as big tent Christianity, in saying that whoever is not against us is for us. In the book of Numbers today, Joshua, Moses' trusted understudy and another tattletale, complains to his boss, Moses, to stop Eldad and Medad from prophesying because they were not part of the group when God's Spirit descended on them, releasing in them the prophetic gift. In an amazing response that echoes across the ages, Moses asked his protege, "Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them." If proclaiming the word of God was a good thing, then how could it be bad if more people were doing it? And by dismissing Joshua's concern, Moses showed that the gift of prophecy belongs to God, not to Moses himself. What God did with the divine gifts was God's business and not Moses. The bottom line is that prophetic truth belongs to God like any other spiritual reality. And it is up to God where it may be found. If more people had access to the truth than just our group, isn't that a cause for rejoicing? Only the spirit of jealousy insists on copyrighting and controlling a gift so precious and so obviously good. There is more truth going around than we may be aware of. So let me ask for you to reflect upon, when in your life have you experienced the Spirit of God at an unexpected time from an unexpected source? What then follows in the gospel are a series of prophetic hyperbole, exaggerations, intended to make the point that the kingdom of God is worth any price. Causing a little one to sin is worthy of death. In these verses, allow me to substitute the phrase "causes you to sin" with "causes you to stumble." The Greek translation for the verb stumble, scandalazo, carries over into English as scandalize. Jesus is saying, if our hands or feet scandalize us, causing us to sin or trip or fall away, stop using our hands and feet in this way. So what kind of scandalizing might this be? Most of us use our hands to do our jobs, from computer work to construction projects. But some kinds of work are more harmful than helpful. Maybe our work puts a burden on the poor, harms the environment, scandalizes our family, or destroys our well-being. If so, Jesus says, delete it. Get rid of it and replace it with work that is healthier and more productive. At the same time, most of us use our feet to take us to a variety of places. One of the places we shouldn't go, because they might do damage to our bodies, our souls, and our relationships. Bars scandalize alcoholics. Casinos scandalize gambling addicts. And some places scandalize married people, tempting them to be unfaithful. If so, says Jesus, delete them. Use our feet to take us to places that are good for us and good for the people we love. Now, if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. We live in a visual culture today. Computer screens, smartphones, televisions, and in the pages of glossy magazines, temptations appear. Perhaps designer fashions, luxury cars, social media postings, or pornography attract our eyes. If these images scandalize us, delete them. Get rid of them. Don't let the things we see cause us to stumble. In all of these ways, Jesus is not really asking us to destroy our hands, feet, or eyes. He is saying to get rid of the destructive things that we do with our hands, our feet, and our eyes. The point is that we are not supposed to cut off certain We are supposed to cut off certain behaviors and not body parts. Cutting off a body part is exactly what Aaron Ralston did. Perhaps you saw or remember the movie 127 Hours. The 27-year-old Aaron Ralston found himself trapped in a canyon with his right arm pinned by a boulder against a rock wall. He had only a little bit of water, two burritos, and a few chunks of chocolate. Knowing that he would surely die in the canyon, he used his small knife to cut off his right arm and escape. Based on a true story, the movie begins by depicting Ralston as an overconfident loner who believes that he is invincible. But the experience in the canyon changes him for the better. Although he lost his right arm, he gained knowledge that the love of others, his relationships with family and friends, and by his dependence on them, kept him alive. Looking back, he said that he went through the experience and realized, well, God is love, and love is what kept me alive, and that love is what got me out of there. Today, we might want to ask ourselves, what do I need to cut off to be a more faithful disciple of Jesus? And what do I need to add? Unless we delete those sinful attitudes and actions that scandalize us and cause us to stumble, we might never discover that God is love, and love is what keeps us alive. The kingdom of God is the ultimate prize worth any price.